It's been 70 years now for Jordan. 70 years of the nation sometimes standing divided and other times unifying behind that national team. 70 years of FIFA membership. And 40 years since Al Nashama, the chivalrous ones as they're called, first tried to qualify for a FIFA World Cup. On June 5th, 2025, instead of reading about more qualification disappointment in the newspapers, this time the streets were packed in Amman. Flags were waving, car horns honking, and people chanting in celebration of Jordan finally qualifying for the 2026 World Cup. Their first. This wasn't just some fluke, though. Jordan's national team has been building up to this. They have shown in recent years that they are a nation to be taken seriously in the Asian Confederation, and that they deserve your attention at this summer's tournament. Hey guys, I'm Adrian, and welcome to World Cup Curiosities Jordan, where we're taking a closer look at some of the teams that you may not know their football story, but you're curious about it, and it deserves to be told. This is the story of how Jordan finally made it. A run through their football history from the very beginning until now. Let's hop in a time machine. The modern-day area that we now know as Jordan was part of the Ottoman Empire, and during much of that time, football was outlawed by Sultan Abdulhamid II. It was seen as an unwanted Western influence, brought by British sailors, of course. This rule stood until 1908, when a military uprising led to plenty of change within the Ottoman Empire, and following World War I, with the area falling under British administration, football began to really increase in popularity. 1932 turned out to be a very important year for the development of a football culture in Jordan, as what is now known as Al-Faisali Sports Club was founded, the club that to this day is the most successful in Jordan, having won the AFC Cup 2 years consecutively in the 2000s. Just over a decade later, and the Jordanian Premier League was founded in the 1940s. The Jordanian Premier League was underfunded, with players absolutely not making enough money to treat football as their profession, and this lack of infrastructure and funding would reach beyond the domestic league and affect the national team's development as well. In the mid-1950s, another incredibly important club was founded in a Palestinian refugee camp in Jordan, Al Wedat, Al Faisal's greatest rival and a great representation of how the country is divided culturally. You see, back in 1948, the Arab-Israeli war created a Palestinian refugee crisis as they were driven out of their homes, forced to flee. Plenty of Palestinian refugees ended up in Jordan, at the time called the Hashemite Kingdom of Transjordan, and even today, 50 to 80% of Jordan's population is made up of Palestinians. Jordan has one of the biggest Palestinian diaspora in the world, and the arrival of this distinct culture created a divide. The native Jordanians, also known as East Bankers for being on the East Bank of the Jordan River, and the West Bank Palestinians. And so naturally, with such a massive part of the population being Palestinian, you have a divide that reaches into football as well. Like I said, Al Faisali and Al Wedat provide a great representation of that at the club level, but that was also mirrored at the national level as well, given how, as we know, in the early days of sport, football and all of its divisions was often a mirror of the culture or cultures. This has seen plenty of flashpoints between the sets of supporters, with the two clubs being the most successful in the country, only adding to that rivalry, both in sport and culturally. The 1970 Jordanian Civil War caused even more fractures between the two sets of supporters and cultures within Jordan, which led to even more dysfunction surrounding the national team. Since the two clubs provided players for the national team, it had people wondering, who are they trying to play for, really? Are they trying to succeed for all of Jordan, or just, quote-unquote, their people? But just as football divides, it also unifies. And as time has gone on, as Jordan has found success and performances improved, the national team has brought the country together at various points. It took a while though. With a host of coaches from a host of countries rotating in and out, there was never really a consistent approach to how Jordan wanted to play football. There was no real identity for the national team. And remember, with the domestic league in a state where it was always financially fragile throughout much of its history, players didn't have a solid base at the club level to truly grow to their potential. Jordan attempted to qualify for a World Cup for the first time in 1986, but they failed. The same happened in 1990, 94, 98, 2002. Things weren't working. However, there were signs of life, as in 1997, under coach Mohamed Awad, a legendary figure in Jordanian football, by the way, Jordan won the Pan Arab Cup. Then they did it again in 1999. And no, it's not a massive trophy, but it was a start, and it kicked off an upward trend for Jordan. Where they were failing at the World Cup level, they were finding some success within their region. The 2004 Asian Cup, Jordan managed to not only qualify for the final tournament for the first time ever, but with a win over Kuwait and draws against South Korea and the UAE, Jordan qualified for the quarterfinals, where they pushed Japan all the way, only losing in a shootout to the Samurai Blue. A heartbreaking shootout, actually. Jordan went 3-0 up as Japan missed their first two penalties, only for Jordan to miss the next four, the decisive one hitting the post. And remember, Japan and South Korea were fresh off of hosting the 2002 World Cup, with South Korea finishing third in, well, let's say interesting fashion. In 2011, they drew with Japan, beat Saudi Arabia and Syria, but fell 2-1 to Uzbekistan in the quarterfinals. Again, there were signs of life from Jordan, signs that if the chips fell in their favor, they could really take a run at qualifying for their first World Cup, which the country wanted so badly. Things were looking up for Jordan, and qualification for the 2014 World Cup was going pretty well under national team coach, the Egyptian Hossam Hassan, who of course is the current national team coach of his home country. Jordan made it all the way to the Interconfederation Playoff for the 2014 World Cup qualifying. With a place in Brazil on the line, Jordan had the tall task of taking on Uruguay, who finished in fourth in 2010's World Cup. This was always going to be a very tall task, right? Just look at the players Uruguay had in their starting 11. A prime Luis Suarez, Edinson Cavani, Diego Godin, Martin Caceres, Maxi Pereira, Diego Forlan, etc., etc. Look, the expectation was that saving any miracles, Uruguay would win against Jordan, and they did so. 5-0 on aggregate, a crushing defeat that sent Jordan into a bit of a tailspin. Now, making the Interconfederation Playoffs was a huge milestone for Jordan and was proof of progress. Jordan seemed like a team that was building momentum, but with Hossam Hassan leaving the national team, Ray Wilkins took over. Yes, Ray Wilkins. And things didn't go that well. Jordan made the AFC Asian Cup in 2015, but they didn't really show up, dropping out of the group stage for the first time since they had begun qualifying for the competition regularly. In the second round of 2018 World Cup qualifying, losses to Australia and Kyrgyzstan meant that Jordan finished runners-up and didn't progress any further. The Jordan roller coaster continued on. From every dip, they would surge upward again. This time, at the 2019 Asian Cup, where under the guidance of Belgian coach Vital Borkelmans, Jordan finished at the top of their group. They drew with Palestine 0-0, and defeated Syria 2-0, and they even defeated the defending Asian Cup champions Australia 1-0 to top their group. Remember though, the roller coaster doesn't go up and down just from one competition to the next. It can do so within the same competition, and disappointingly, Jordan fell in a shootout to what was a tricky Vietnam side. You can imagine how frustrating this pattern would be for the Jordanians. Just when it seemed like they were climbing, they would crash back down again. But a glass half full view would show you that in the last 20 years or so, they were a team that was now playing on the big stages, that was capable of beating big teams and had great potential. What was different from their predecessors? More players playing professional football. Take the captain of the Jordan national team right now, Musa Altamari. At 21 years old, he left Jordan to play for Apoel in Cyprus, where he then earned a move to OH Leuven in Belgium, Montpellier in France after that, and now he plays for Stade Rennais, a team that will be playing in the Europa League next season. And by the way, his move to Montpellier marked him as the first Jordanian to ever play in a top five European league. He's the extreme example, of course, but you have others playing in Croatia, South Korea, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Morocco. They aren't just confined to the Jordanian leagues anymore. And that has helped them to grow as players and in turn grow the prowess of the national team. Once you have that, what you need to tie it all together is a good coach. And for that, a Moroccan named Hussein Amouta would take the reins in June of 2023. Under Amuta, Jordan went to the 2023 Asian Cup in Qatar and blew everyone away with their performance, at least in the knockout stage. Jordan qualified for the knockouts by finishing third behind Bahrain and South Korea, but from there, they shocked Iraq in an incredible round of 16 match. They were losing 2-1 in the second half stoppage time. Jordan scored in the 5th minute of stoppage time to tie the game, then again in the 7th minute of stoppage time, the 97th minute, to win it. Quarterfinals, a 1-0 win over Tajikistan. Semifinals, Jordan faced the giants that are South Korea, and with a 2-0 win, they secured their place in the final against host Qatar. Unfortunately, in front of 86,000 supporters, they lost 3-1 thanks to 3 penalties from Akram Afif. However, that put wind in Jordan's sails. Where they had previously failed to continue these kinds of great performances, Amuta continued their great run by taking them as far as the second round of the AFC 2026 World Cup qualifiers and stepping down from his position with Jordan at the top of their group. Jamal Salami, another Moroccan, took over from Amuta and continued their fantastic run. Victories against Saudi Arabia, holding South Korea to a draw, and plenty of great results thanks to their quick counter-attacking football. The final piece of the puzzle came on June 5th, 2025 in Muscat, Oman. Ali Olwan scores a hat-trick in a 3-0 win, and with South Korea defeating Iraq 2-0, that meant that both Jordan and South Korea had qualified for the 2026 World Cup. This, of course, unified what was once a divided national team and got the entire country behind them, believing that they were capable of achieving even more. And they nearly did, as Salami led Jordan to the finals of the 2025 Arab Cup, defeating the UAE, Kuwait, Egypt, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia along the way. But Salami's Jordan fell to his motherland, losing 3-2 to Morocco in the final. Salami was offered Jordanian citizenship by King Abdullah II, which shows how moved the entire country is by the Jordan national team now, how behind them they all are. They were, and still remain in some ways, a divided nation. But when it comes to Al Nashama, the nation is focused on the next steps in their nascent World Cup history. Score that first goal, secure those first points, and from there, I mean, who knows? They share a group with Austria, Algeria, and the defending champions, Argentina. With their pragmatic, counter-attacking style that has been so successful so far, how far do you think Jordan can go? Are they making it out of the group stage? Let me know, and I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll have more World Cup coverage on the channel, plenty more, so be sure to subscribe. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you in another video very soon. Later, guys.